Gospel according to St. John, the 7th chapter, beginning with the 37th verse. The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Pharisees heard the crowd muttering such things about him, and the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple police to arrest him. Jesus then said, on the last day of the festival, the great day while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Now he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive. For as yet there was no spirit, because Jesus was not yet glorified. When they heard these words, some in the crowd said, "This is really the prophet." Others said, "This is the Messiah." But some asked, "Surely the Messiah does not come from Galilee, does he? Has not the scripture said that the Messiah is descended from David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David lived?" So there was division in the crowd because of him. Some of them wanted to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. Then the temple police went back to the chief priests and Pharisees, who asked them, "Why did you not arrest him?" The police answered, "Never has anyone spoken like this." Then the Pharisees replied, "Surely you have not been deceived too, have you? Has any one of the authorities or of the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd, which does not know the law, they are accursed." Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus before and who was one of them, asked, "Our law does not judge people without first giving them a hearing to find out what they are doing, does it?" They replied, "Surely you are not also from Galilee, are you? Search and you will see that no prophet is to arise from Galilee." The Gospel of the Lord. You know, I was planning on a really short sermon this morning, but I was kind of challenged by somebody over in this section to see if I could do a long sermon. You know, and I try to rise up to a challenge. So if you guys are suffering today, it ain't my fault. Well, I guess it is, actually. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, growing up in Minnesota, first northern Minnesota and then southern Minnesota, you might think that I would be a fan of lakes and rivers and streams, since there's something like 15,000 lakes in Minnesota. Well, truth be told, I am. I'm a big fan of lakes and rivers and streams and bogs and swamps and all that kind of good stuff. Especially when I was a little boy, I was a particular fan of them. But you know, wherever we've lived, Cynthia and I, whether in New Jersey or southern Maryland, we would occasionally go to the Atlantic Ocean. And living in Illinois and Wisconsin, we'd go to Lake Michigan upon occasion. And of course, in Minnesota, you really want to see a body of water, you go to Lake Superior, which, even though it borders other states in Canada, is really a Minnesota lake. You should know that. And, of course, all the lakes. I grew up in a town called Bemidji with a beautiful lake, and the Mississippi River flows right through it. Beautiful area. So I'm familiar with Lake Bemidji, of course, and then in Montana, Flathead Lake and Coeur d'Alene Lake in Idaho, and here, rafting on the American River, water skiing and fishing on the Sacramento. I like that kind of stuff. Well, I did when I was younger and I could get around easier. But you know, growing up in Minnesota, I spent a lot of time in the swamps with my friends, looking at the bogs, catching tadpoles, catching frogs, catching toads, watching shrews, little teeny mammals, cross over the water, actually running on top of the water. Great fun for a little guy. Great fun for anybody, actually. And I was aware, of course, as Justin said, there's all kinds of life in these things. Frogs and fish, tadpoles. And of course, what I didn't know then, when I was little, microscopic life. These areas of water teem with microscopic life, stuff that is so small we can't see it with the naked eye. And of course, all kinds of bugs and everything else, all the kinds of things that delight a child's heart. They delighted mine. My parents, I doubt that any parents would do this nowadays, but they used to let me go swimming in Lake Bemidji by myself from the time I learned how to swim, which was about first grade or so. And that was fun, great fun. The lake was only a mile and a half or so from my parents' house, and it was no big deal back then. Nobody worried about stuff like that. Nowadays, no parent would do that. But back then, I'm probably dating myself, huh? Back then, it was a lot different. You know, and I think I've shared with you before. In fact, I'm sure I have. I was baptized when I was 2.5 months old in my grandmother's living room. This is northern Minnesota in the middle of the winter. I was baptized between Christmas and New Year's, just before my parents' first anniversary. The pastor came to my grandmother's house, and all my relatives were there, and they baptized me, of course, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And, of course, I had nothing to do with it. But I was baptized with water. Water that had life in it. Water that conveyed life. Water that conveyed the life of Christ, the Holy Spirit. And I didn't know it at the time. I didn't know it until I was quite a bit older. You know, at that time, all I could do, as I've mentioned before, was look cute and adorable, and yes, some things never change. I need to share with you, when I was back in northern Minnesota at my first parish there, and I was preaching on water and baptism, might have been this text, I'm not even sure I remember anymore, and I happened to tell that story. And that was a pretty large church, and it was pretty well full, and as it happened, my aunt and uncle had driven over from a town about 90 minutes away and happened to be in the congregation. My aunt, my dad's younger sister, I didn't know it. But I said that, you know, all I did was look cute and adorable. She told me afterwards when she met me, I wanted so badly to stand up and say, and he was too. I said, you should have. But she didn't. But you know, the waters of baptism, this is life. This is life. And I invite you, as you come up today, if you're able to, without impeding others, dip your fingers in the water and make the sign of the cross on yourself as a reminder that you are a baptized child of God. Water and the Word, life, the Holy Spirit, flowed into you. And still does. Now, not only was I baptized early in life, but I suppose I was got to the point where I realized that I need water. I'm thirsty. I need water. No longer drinking much in the way of milk. And I need water. You need water to stay alive. I also had to take baths and stuff like that, but what child doesn't? We need water to maintain life as we know it, physical life, in these particular bodies that we have. So I've known that water sustains life, and of course, that there's life in water. And in our gospel text this morning, Jesus goes even further. He tells that anyone who is thirsty should come to him. And he adds, let the one who believes in me drink, and out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. Now, the festival mentioned in the first verse of our gospel is the Feast of Tabernacles, which celebrates, for the Jewish people, their wilderness journey from Egypt to the Promised Land, that journey of 40 years. And in that feast, the custom was you would build small shelters out of palm branches and whatever else happens to be handy. And during the feast, that's where you would stay. If you had your house in Jerusalem, you would build it on the roof or whatever was handy. But that was the theme of the entire festival, that and water. Water from the Pool of Siloam was poured out during the festival. It was in thanksgiving for God's mercies in providing water, not only from the rock during the Exodus, but rainwater, which helps to grow the crops, which of course gives us food, and again is necessary to sustain life. As we read in our psalm this morning, he covers the heavens with clouds, prepares rain for the earth, makes grass grow on the hills. I mentioned earlier that life lives in water, and we need water to sustain life, our earthly lives. Drink water as we must, we will still die. But Jesus takes the symbolism in this feast, of this feast, and he talks about the living water that he's going to bestow, the life that he brings, not rain and bodily need, but for the innermost needs of the soul. Remember the story of Pentecost, when the disciples were talking in tongues, flames of fire on their heads, they had received the Holy Spirit, and then others gathered, and eventually over 3,000 that day received the Holy Spirit and were baptized. Our gospel writer refers to the cross in terms of glory, not shame, but glory. And Christ who died for us is glorified. And since he has been glorified, the Holy Spirit is bestowed. It's bestowed in baptism. It continues to grow all through your life, and it flows from you. The Spirit has been given. It's been given to us, to each and every one of us. And Jesus invites the thirsty soul to come to him and drink that life-giving water that cannot be found anywhere else. In other words, Jesus fills the need. He fills the void that can't be filled with anything else. To come to Jesus and to drink is to believe in him. And when one does drink from Jesus, living water that has its source in Christ, the Holy Spirit, will flow from the believer's heart, from within, literally from within his belly, in the Greek text. Drinking, as Jesus speaks of, is only possible to a person of faith. And there are results. There are results. The believers filled with such an abundant supply that rivers of living water flow. Yeah, you don't see it, but in a way you do. Brothers and sisters, you are not like the Dead Sea, which takes in water from the River Jordan and nothing flows out. That is not what you are to be. That is not what you are like. We don't just take in this living water from Jesus and it stays in us. It flows from us. We're not self-centered still waters that only receive. Instead, as believers, as disciples, as you receive the gift of God, so that gift is passed on through you to others. You, as a believer, are a servant of God. You're a disciple, and God uses you. He uses us individually and together with churches throughout the synod, throughout the world. And that gift continues to be passed on. You, as a believer, are a servant of God. You pass on the blessings that you have received. Have you ever noticed you never run out? You are filled. You're filled abundantly. You're filled to overflowing. But you don't run out. Not now, not ever. Living water is the gift of Christ, and it passes through you and I to others. And so as we walk with Jesus, he slakes the thirst of our souls with living water, which we in turn are called to share as our faith is expressed by what we say, by what we do, by what we give, by how we live, by how we live and give of ourselves. And in living generously, in giving generously, you support in a tangible way the mission that we are each one of us a part of, sharing living water with the world. Amen. Very sorry to disappoint you. It wasn't too long. I'll try to do better next time.